We continue now with the reading, and Janice will bring the reading to us today from 2 Timothy as we prepare. Thank you, Janice.
Good morning, Chad. The reading taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and according to their own desire, because of their itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
Amen. Thank you, Janice. Mike, you and Lyndon, but Mike, you've let your husband join us, so you're part of this. You come a long way to serve us. You come from Chingford. Where? Ashford. Ashford in Kent. And you come all that way to serve us. And you faithfully contribute to us. I think you get the long distance award, I think. Mike, we thank God for you, and we thank God for the year we've had. And we're thankful that you can come now and encourage us in the word. Thank you, Mike. Let's welcome Mike one more time. Thank you.
So heavy, I have to do weightlifting just to be able to carry it. Morning, everybody. I won't keep you long. I'm just going to read one extra verse, verse 16 of the chapter before, or verse 16, 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I learned this morning now what the word reprove means, because I always wondered what the difference between reprove and rebuke was. But I can see, according to the translation we're looking at, means reprove means more like to convince. So I learned something this morning. Okay. Now, we've been here this morning primarily to honor the graduates for all the time and effort that they've put in consistently and faithfully to come to the classes and to learn. But this has been for a reason. The reason has been that you've been equipped for effective service. All Christians are in service. We don't get saved just to get out of hell. We get saved in order to serve God in his kingdom. So we're saved for service. But being trained in the way that you've been trained, you graduates and those are still attending but haven't yet graduated, you've been trained for a reason. The reason is to become better equipped to fulfill your calling as Christian to serve God in his kingdom. But for all of us here, whether we're attending the Bible college or not, we are all called upon by God to be his servants in the community. And therefore, we need to be studying. But we need to be doing what the Apostle Paul was here encouraging Timothy to do. The Apostle Paul was encouraging his protege, so to speak, Timothy, as to how to be a good leader, a good pastor. And so the text, the context of the text, is for Timothy on an individual level. But we can draw a parallel from this and apply it to ourselves today, because we are all like Timothy's this morning in our Christian calling. And that's what we're going to be doing. And what we're going to be seeing, especially from 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, is that we're involved in a kind of spiritual warfare. And it's the war between falsehood and truth. A war between falsehood and truth. The world is not silent. There's plenty of messages going out in the world. Plenty of religions speaking out what they believe. And all of this competition taking place between religions. And Christianity is the only faith, of course, that has God sending his son, God coming into our world to save us rather than us trying to get ourselves up to God. And for Buddhism, it doesn't even believe in a God. Okay, traditional Buddhism, that is. So we're here this morning to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual war. And we're thinking primarily now of falsehood against truth. Because it is Satan and his demons and spirits, as Timothy tells us, in 1 Timothy 4, as well as in 2 Timothy 4, it's demons and spirits with Satan that are behind the falsehood. People didn't just dream up the falsehood. They've been prompted into this false thinking by the enemy. But we see three players, or three groups of players. The first player we're going to be looking at, of course, is Satan himself. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, it talks about him and his demons spreading deception and falsehood. You know, it talks about the doctrines of demons. But what kind of falsehood do they spread? Do these players spread? Well, first of all, they offer the world the idea of atheism. Hey, you know, there's no God. Don't worry about believing in God. Life would be a whole lot easier if you don't have to believe in a God and feel that you are accountable to this God. Just forget about believing in God and go out and do your own thing. Why not? Go for it. Or Satan and his demons will have people create false faith or false religion, or religion that God, that is, doesn't bring you to Christ. Or Satan very cleverly, not that I want to call him clever for anything, but he caused people to come up with the idea of pluralism. Now, that big word means, it refers to the idea that all religions are fine and you can all get to God in the same way. It doesn't matter which religion you belong to, you don't really need to be in the Christian religion at all. And then Satan also, now of course we need to love people in other religions, as has been pointed out to us today, but that's not the point that we're getting at the moment. But then another false teaching that Satan puts out is the idea that, you know, we can never really know the truth anyway. We can never grasp reality. We can never put our eyes upon what is really out there. So why bother? Just live in despair. Just try to get through each day as best you can, but don't look for truth of any kind. There is no truth out there to be found, be it faith, philosophy, theology, whatever, whatever. There is no truth. Well, that's what Satan likes people to believe. And all of this is the spirit of Antichrist that 1 John 4 and 5 talk about. Now, that's Satan. What about the second player? Second player, of course, is us. It's us people. We've got Satan. Now we've got ourselves. And by people, I mean believers and non-believers. And the world obviously is comprised of both. People who believe in no religion, people who are in religions. And that includes us being in the Christian faith. Now, there are people in the world who are deceived. They may believe in some kind of spirit or force or whatever, but they are deceived. They think that they have grasped the right way to go. They think they have taken a hold of spiritual truth, but in fact, they haven't. but they're drawn to some kind of falsehood in one form or another. Why? Because they only want to hear what they want, their itching ears want to hear, as you read about in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. In other words, and this is not just people in a religion, it's people in any kind of world ideology or world philosophy. They only hear what they want to hear. I'm sure none of us are guilty this morning of only hearing what we want to hear. I say that with both tongues in my cheek. No, sometimes I hear only what I want to hear. So we must look out for that. But people in the world only hear what their ears tell them to hear. Because hearing the truth can sometimes be difficult. Hearing the truth places us into a position of accountability. Because if we hear about the truth of Christ and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, that means we've got to respond to that hearing. We've got to live according to what that truth tells us. So hearing equals accountability. Hearing equals accountability. Now, for us today who would like to consider ourselves as true believers, and for you graduates, you've come willingly to be properly equipped. And that's what 1 Timothy 3:17 tells us to do, to be like, to be properly equipped. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy, to properly equip his people. And you've been properly equipped. But we are, Timothy is also told to be forever ready at any time to minister, to preach, to reprove, convince, to rebuke, and to exhort. How? With patience and good teaching, and, of course, in that way, present the truth. And that's verses 2 and 5. So we are to minister, to preach, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. How? With patience and good teaching. And what are we teaching? The truth. Now, these are the first two players. The second player, whom we shall call this morning the primary player. And who's that? Who's the primary player? It's God. Okay. Well, God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is all sovereign, he's all knowing, and nothing can surprise him. He has revealed himself, and he's revealed truth via the biblical writers, inspired writers, and through the incarnation, where God the Son came into our world to live with us, to walk with us, to eat with us, to teach us, and to die on the cross for our sins, to rise from the dead for us, and to ascend into heaven, to be on the right hand of the Father, to be our ongoing intercessor. Jesus has done a lot of things for us. A lot of things. And he continues to do them. But that is the God with whom we have to do. He is the primary player. Now, we read there in chapter 4, verse 1, 2 Timothy, that Christ is to return to set up the kingdom, and he is to judge. So we are all going to be facing judgment. But if we are children of God, we need not fear that, although we should still be concerned, if you get my point. Because we will have to give an account of what we've done in our bodies, Christ, especially if you read Romans chapter 2. So we will be giving an account. So for you graduates who've attended the classes for a good reason, you've been here to be equipped in your understanding of our Christian heritage, especially through the church history side of things, our Christian heritage, and to learn sound doctrine. But now we are charging you this morning, and the Word of God is charging you this morning, to train and to minister to each other, fellow graduates, and to other believers, and to give an informed witness to the world around you. In other words, to be a strong and a powerful light. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Michael. Thank you. That was a precious challenge from the book of Timothy. We're going to continue now, as we had the wonderful exhortation as we began with Prof. David McAdam reminding us at the beginning about the table. We now invite us to come to the table. As David said, those who know Christ, and believe in him are free to come. So we continue now by inviting the elders to come up, those who can help, assistants, should I say, or elders to the front. Thank you. Or we have Donna and we have Lynn. Thank you. Bless you too.